Welcome to What's My Thesis. I'm Javier Proenza, and today my guest is Adam F. Scott. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
We met at, Mirrors, Broken Mirrors or something like that?
Yeah, it was Liz Walsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Curatorial.
Was it called Broken Mirrors or something like that?
The space was called Discount Mirrors.
Discount Mirrors, okay.
And yeah. And
I gave it a much cheesier.
Broken. I mean.
It's like so goth.
It's like
a business.
right. Well, so it's Discount Mirrors Studios, right?
Okay.
So John Dwyer's.
Oh, okay. I'm not.
Recording project. So that's it. It's a studio. Oh. It's an actual functioning recording studio.
They don't sell mirrors at all?
You know, I think the place used to. I think you did one of those things where, you know, there's this kind of ghost image on that. Yeah. When they peeled everything off the building, it kind of vaguely says Discount Mirrors. And I think you just kind of, in a pithy way, kept it.
Well, cool, man. So you're from Chicago, right?
No, grew up in Venice.
Until what age were you out in Venice?
My whole family's from actually New York and all from New York and Italian, a big part of my family's Italian, kind of came here in the 20th century, Ellis Island. I'm half Scottish.
Okay, that's
half
what I was
Scottish.
Gonna...
Well, I say that, you know, it could have been Vecchiarelli, but my mom took my dad's last name, which are Canadian Scottish people. A much quieter part of my family.
Yeah,
the Italian part's much more. So
did you grow up speaking any Italian or no?
Un po'.
Okay.
Yeah.
Che bello.
Io sono italiano. We were like the kind of, you know, all Eastern New Yorkers dyed in the wool.
Yeah.
You know, and then moved to LA, and then they kind of. So then I was the only person to grow up out here, you know. So then when I go back to New York and see everybody, all the cousins and various people would always joke that I went native because I was like, oh, hey, man. You know, like they were like, what? Or who's this guy?
You don't have a New Yorker.
No. It was like, you know, and that. Going back would always be like culture shock for me for like a day or two. I'd get back there and I'd be,
forget about it. No,
I'd be operating at a certain clip, you know, here
at a speed.
Everyone there is operating this different speed. And so everyone would be like, hi, what's up? How are you? What's going on? You know, it's very like penetrating, very like present. And I just had to kind of get with that rhythm. And then I, you know, I would get back into it and dig it, you know, but.
So then when did you start figuring out you were into art and all of that
in high school? So I went to Santa Monica High School.
Okay.
And then I had a, you know, I had been in bands. So I was playing in bands. I got into music first. It was kind of music was first. And I got as a kid, probably about like 13 years old, I was in, I really got into like punk rock and thrash metal and all the things that were happening. And I'm, you know, of an age where that I could do that at that time. Because I was going to like my dad, who is so awesome, and he would like drive me to concerts.
To
drop me off at like in the valley at like these bars where like Slayer would be playing and
Jesus. Okay.
You know, things like that. He was cool. My dad was very cool. And he was just really, parents were really supportive and, of my various cultural leanings.
Did he ever like take you to Cannibal Corpse and anything like that extreme?
No
meat grinder.
No, because that wasn't really there. I mean, this is like 84, 85.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is like the genesis of this stuff coming out. So anyway, I was doing that and I was checking stuff like that out. And I got into a band in high school, called Psychotic Youth. And we were the kind of the little baby brother band of like Suicidal Tendencies. And we'd play with them and practiced in their practice space in Venice. It was really fascinating.
They were like a little bit more glam though, right? No.
Suicidal?
Or am I confusing them?
They're hardcore.
They're not a hair metal.
No, they're okay. Suicidal Tendencies are the most hardcore punk rock band like at that time period ever. I mean, they really were like them and Black Flag. They kind of established an aesthetic that was in Southern California. Yeah, but you should probably strike out the hair metal band thing because they'll find you.
Oh, no. I mean, whatever, dude. My ignorance is always on display.
They'll find you. But, you know, I'm just joking, but I think
it would be pretty unpunk for them to be upset.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that there's this kind of aesthetic that I was getting into that was not, it wasn't like an art one, but my parents were into going to museums and they liked to go to LACMA. They're both intellectuals and they're both the professors.
What do they teach?
Political theory. They were both as an intellectual environment growing up, so they were just hip and they really, and they wanted to bring me into that world. So, they just dug things, So I was really fortunate to grow up just, they weren't artists, but they were
cultured.
And being a, in, professors, you're kind of the working poor, you're like super rich intellectually. And then you're like, wow, no one gets paid enough. Yeah. But, but it was a cool, it was a cool thing to grow up in. And they certainly didn't they weren't against being into things and even things that were a little outside their comfort zone, which was music, and the culture, the subcultures and the layered things.
But you got into painting first, drawing first,
it was because I was the guy making flyers for the bands.
Okay. So like those Xeroxed, rough, not like, cause I grew up in the rave scene in the 90s.
Oh.
So that aesthetic is like very sci-fi futuristic, kind of stuff like that.
I saw a lot of stuff like that in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there's books of rave flyers. They're so memorable, but the punk is a different aesthetic. So where did you, you started off with Xeroxing and stuff
Yeah. There was Xeroxing and cutting and pasting. And I go down to the thrift, there's like a Thrifty Mart down the street and they had the copier. Cause I grew up, so I was kind of like, there weren't a lot of copiers around. So I'd sit there in the Thrifty Mart and like be there on the copier and people would be waiting and I'd just be like working on it. I was like, there's like ice cream guy thrifty and then the copy Mart. Thrifty is the birth of punk.
Man. Yeah. Yeah.
So, or whatever. So, it was making those things and seeing other people make that. And so really, I think my first things that were visual were these Dada, like, so it was very, but I didn't know that it was,
you didn't have the education.
No,
for it.
Not necessarily.
You intuited it.
Yeah. So I was making the things and they were fun and cool. And I saw other people doing it and I kind of, aped some other things that I saw there. And then in high school, I took an art appreciation class.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty common, it's a standard common thing. And and we did a little project and the faculty, the teacher was like, this is your thing is really rad and I really like it. And you should maybe think about it, in college. And I was just
irresponsible of a teacher. All my good teachers told me not to become an artist.
She was just like, you should check.
Join the cult.
That's like, and my grades were, they were pretty good, but I wasn't, I wasn't tracking to hit the, major league colleges by any stretch, I was just kind of, and so what ends up happening is I get into Long Beach State.
Oh, okay. So you did your MFA in Chicago.
Yeah. So okay. That BFA is Long Beach State and getting to Long Beach State. And I don't know, whatever. I'm at the state school and it turns out to have this great, they have a great art program there.
Yeah.
They have a really good ceramics, really great drawing and painting, printmaking is amazing at Long Beach State. So
at the
really
time, good. was it interdisciplinary or
kind of had to do that. You had to like be, so I was such a total, I got so far into it that I just did it myself. Cause I was just be like, oh, like printmaking, cool. Or, and it didn't, it was small enough. They all knew each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't hang for like crits together. There wasn't that, you had to make it up. I just made it all up. And I was like, yeah, painting, cool. Printmaking, cool. Like there was like a woman who taught new media.
Oh, nice.
Which was like, and she was
digital stuff.
She was a second wave feminist artist who hung out with like Suzanne Lacy and Eleanor Anton. And like, so she called new media, like intermedia.
Okay.
So she's using the language to kind of tweak it. She's like, new media is just, is like, are artists who are attempting interventions. So on and so forth. So stuff like that.
No, it's interesting because, you know, growing up, it's like a lot of these terms have changed, you know, like cause we grew up in the era before digital photography was really the main thing. I mean, I still printed color and it was like super toxic.
Badass.
Yeah. I mean, I miss it. I didn't want to make the transition to digital.
That's like alchemy. That's like real alchemy. You
know?
For real. It's amazing.
And just the process of going into the dark room, coming out and then like color correcting like that versus color correcting on a screen that whole process. Now, back then, like the calibration of monitors wasn't that great.
Well, everything,
it was super expensive. Yeah. It was like you could buy a cheap camera and spend all your money on a piece of glass, you know, and then you would have like, but like now the camera had to have like some fancy shit to it.
Man,
you know?
I just think like, and they had photography at Long Beach State. I mean, it was very, and they had a really tight graphic design Viscom department. You know, like they were churning out like really educated artists.
Actually,
really, you know, and then technically. I did like figurative sculpture and it was crazy. It was awesome. And so coming out of there, you know, so the other thing that was cool about that is that you were, you know, you're in Long Beach, right? So this is Long Beach in the 90s, which, you know, wasn't LA in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, proximal.
You were close to the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O double G.
But then you were like kind of, you know, you were, but you could go to, you know, you could discover things. Like, so if you kind of got yourself together and drove up to LA, you could go to Beyond Baroque.
What's that?
Beyond Baroque was a, like a poetry center in Venice where a lot of LA poetry and performance art kind of came out of. It's like a very, it's a groundbreaking place. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I'm totally blanking, but there was a show on KCRW called Bookworm. Did you ever listen to that?
No.
Just a talk show about books. And the guy who ran it, like, ran or was an integral part of Beyond Baroque, and a lot of people came out of that. You know, it was really fascinating kind of subculture that, and so you could go to that, or you could go to, you know, openings. I mean, you could do like Mike Kelly was coming on the scene. I was just getting my mind blown. You know, seeing like cool stuff and then coming back to Long Beach and being like, oh, you know, and kind of trying to integrate all that as a younger person into my identity.
Mike Kelly, he did the Candor show at Hauser & Wirth. Is that him?
Yeah, that guy. And he was doing, you know, and at that time he was doing performances, and he was, you know, I just mentioned him, but there were a lot of really interesting people that were kind of, I just say that because he's kind of a big name, but it was really cool to be that in that proximity.
I feel like it wasn't until that Pacific Standard Time show where like there was an active push to try to say like stuff was happening in LA. It's been in the shadow of New York. So it's, totally. I'm always into hearing about this, you know, Chris Durden. And
Chris Durden. Chris Burden. But the thing is like all that was happening and then got into that and checked a lot of it out, and then ended up right before I left to get into master's program in Chicago. I went to the, what's it called? The Helter Skelter show. So there's this one show that happened. Paul Schimmel did it. And I feel like a broken record, 'cause I say this a lot to people, because that show like changed my whole outlook. I was at school and as always, a younger part-timer teacher was like, hey, you should go to LA and check out the show. He's like, Adam, I think you'd like it. And I was like, okay. And so I got a couple people and we went and we carpooled up there.
In LA.
To LA. Cause I was living in Long Beach the whole time. Like I just lived in Long Beach for, which I never thought I would ever live in Long Beach, but I did for like 7 years. And then going to school, it took me about 6 years to get through undergrad. Cause I was just, you know, it's like,
it took me 10. So,
but
I left a couple times.
Right. So I just ended up, I went up to the show at Mocha and I walked in there, and I think the first room I entered was Raymond Pettibon. And all of his drawings, but they were all pinned up to the wall. And I had never seen them like that because I had only collected Black Flag albums, which he was kind of, you know, instrumental in kind of creating the album art for that. And so that was a big deal. Lynn Foulkes, Meg Cranston, Liz Lerner, you know, Victor Estrada.
Oh yeah. I've had him on the show.
He's my hero. And just coming out here, I never knew him, but I kind of connected. I saw a show at Art Center.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to that show. Yeah.
I saw. So
Purple Mexican.
Yes. Purple Mexican. So good. He's so fucking good. But like in the Helter Skelter show, he had these giant, he's so in Purple Mexican. He had the drawing for those giant, like foam insulation, foam, fucking like weird baby purple, man, and that was in the show, plus plus his paintings, his weird hybrid paintings. Manuel Ocampo also in the show. I mean, it was Mike Kelly, Paul McCartney. I mean, it was just like
was it related to anything having to do with
LA art in the 90s?
Okay,
that was the show. It's Helter Skelter.
Because that's like, that's not just a Beatles reference, but that's also a Manson reference.
Yeah.
Was there any subtext to that involved?
No, but it was like, I feel like.
I mean, it's an LA.
Sure. Yeah. But I feel like the show was kind of talking about LA as a noir. The noirish, the sunlight and the darkness. And that, I think that, you know, I think Schimmel kind of, I don't think he was literally saying that, but I feel like kind of positioned that. You know, which LA is has so much of that, you know, and one of Paul McCartney's first like animatronic sculptures was in it. And,
oh, cool.
You know, called The Garden. And these two guys were like fucking trees, these two robot things. I mean, it was it was really cool to see, you know, Liz Lerner had this piece called Corner Basher, which was like this robotic arm that was like in the corner, bashing the corners. This is aggressive. The show is very aggressive. And I think, for a young artist, it was transgressive and it was like physically aggressive, and it pushed art in all these different directions, and you know, and it was, I think it was kind of a bit of a template for some things. So
yeah,
it's cool.
And then after that, you went to School of the Art Institute of Chicago, right?
Moved to Chicago.
How long were you out there? Did you stay after graduating?
Yeah. So my wife, Julie, and I, we met at Long Beach. We weren't married then, but we were dating in Long Beach. And then we both moved out to Chicago, and, I went to master's program. She did a fashion. She was doing fashion there. We met a bunch of people who are artists and musicians, and the city just came alive to us. It's a dynamic city. It's really interesting.
Especially if you've grown up in LA and having to commute from Long Beach up here, you can get from one end of town to the other end of town pretty easily.
It was nice. And I mean, it's cold as fuck, you know, I mean, it's so cold.
Some of the best public transit. Yeah.
It's great, but it's, you know, but the thing is it's alive and it's pulsating, and I never live it. You know, my DNA was coming from New York. So going back to kind of an Eastern city, I mean, it's Midwestern, but it's very, you know, from here it's Eastern.
Dense. Yeah.
Anything west of here is basically Eastern.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's always funny though. Know. Like when you call the Midwest starts like, so it's kind of like, it's the reverse of when you try to write something on a poster board and you run out of space. Like the East Coast is the part where you run out of space.
That's right. Your writing goes down where you go down to Florida and you're like, no. And no, but it's like, you know, so, but Chicago is vibrant. It's interesting. The Art Institute's brilliant school.
Yeah.
Really attached to this world-class museum. I mean, it's kind of insane. It's like it's great. Great place to be. And it was met a bunch of really cool people there as grad students. And then matriculated, got my master's, and then like I taught around in the community college system because I knew I wanted to teach. Both my parents, it runs in the family. I love teaching, and it's a great gig. If you dig it and honestly like it, it's a great gig.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, it's fucking horrible. But if you dig it, it's great, obviously. But I mean, it actually is a very binary position with teaching. You either dig it or you're like, I'm never fucking doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, there's no middle there.
I'd rather have people teach me on the show and then use that as the output. I don't want to deal with people directly, directly. Yeah.
I understand that. No, but so, you know, so that was great. And being, you know, I got, did some teaching in community college system, and, you know, Chicago's very analogous to the LACCD system here, mm-hmm. you know, very same. There's like 9 colleges.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
called the city, Chicago City College System.
Okay.
Community colleges, you know, and I taught it, a whole bunch of them. I remember Malcolm X being one of them. That was a great school, kind of south of downtown a bit, and cool experience. And then I kind of circled back to the Art Institute and then got a job teaching there part-time, and then did it more and more and more, and ended up teaching, you know, as part-time people do, you teach everywhere. I was at Northwestern University. I was at,
that's what I can't handle about teaching.
Yeah.
You're a fucking road warrior.
Totally road warrior. And I was just kind of like, I can do this. I can pay the rent. I can have a studio. And Chicago was not, you know, at that time was not as even expensive as LA, you know, so there's a different economic place there.
Yeah. Dude, you can buy condos for like 60 grand there.
I mean, you know, it's doing what every city is doing, which is, you know, everything fluctuating and all that, but there's an attainability to some things where you can kind of create a wealth. You know, I say wealth quotes, but like you can kind of build something there.
No, and the community. I went there. And it wasn't even an artist community that I was just dating someone that was there, and she introduced me to her friends. Mm. And it just, like, I remember being there in the summertime and how happy, like, you know, being from Miami LA.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, oh yeah, and the sun is out. See? Like, they're over there, they were like, thank God, but we've been waiting all year.
People do it.
Yeah.
I mean, like
yeah.
when the sun comes out.
People are
like half naked. You're like, holy shit. And then, and it seduces you. It's mild and it's summertime and you're kind of out and it's 2 a.m. and you're outside of you've seen a show and you're hanging with your friend and you're just like, this is perfect.
Yeah,
you know, you're on a rooftop somewhere. It has a very kind of West Side Story vibe kind of thing. I just, you know, but like, and it seduces you, you know, and then suddenly it's like September and you're like, the light's changing. And you're like, what's happening here? And then slowly, you know, and then there you are in February and you're like, oh my God. But then it's March. See, the crocus has come up. Do you know what I mean?
And like, so September, October, November, December,
it's really,
January, February. So it's 6 months of the year.
But really, really, it's like December. Really, it's actually December to February. That's the heart of it.
Yeah.
That's,
it always, like, the winter is always colder towards February, January.
That's really the heart of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you're putting like suicide prevention stickers in your medicine cabinet just to look at it, have a visual cue every day. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
But
I can't handle gray like that. Whoosh, dude.
But then suddenly it all flips around and then life comes roaring back. You know, so there's this rhythm. It's really interesting. I miss it a little. Mm-hmm. I miss it just a tiny bit, but I also, because I grew up out here, I totally get what's happening.
Yeah. But I also get that noir feeling. Sometimes I did, I just spent 2 months in Miami because I was I was like, yeah, it's kind of dark out here sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, especially like, it was like the, you know, I mean, it was just nice to like go somewhere else. I mean, Miami has its own problems, but
sure.
But it's it's nice to go to somewhere else that has different problems.
Well, you know, being like, the cool thing, Chicago was cool because it was, you could be an artist. You could, you know, because when you get out of school, you're like, what's an artist?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question. I'm kind of like, what is an artist? What does that mean? How do you do that? Because no one calls you that, right? You have to, it's you're self-identifying. So what's an artist? Well, an artist is someone who has a space and makes work mm-hmm. and then does that. That's the first kind of basic, you know, that's like a very, I guess, foundational part. So Chicago. Tons and tons of post-industrial space, right?
Yeah.
And you could do it. So we did that and I got a space and I was making art. And then I got together with 3 other artists and we started an artist-run space. So we were kind of in this was like about like circa 99, 2000. And we and a number of other people, unbeknownst to each other, started spaces mm-hmm. in Chicago. So we became known as the second wave of artists run spaces.
Oh, okay.
Amazing. You know, there was a first wave in like the 70s for sure.
Okay.
You know, in that sense, right? And that kind of, you know, and then we became the second wave and we were called Deluxe Projects. And there were a number of other,
Do you remember any of the names? Shout them out.
Of the other spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was a place called Standard. There's a place called the 7-3 Split, who actually was started by Tim Fleming, if you know who
that is.
That's
a bowling term, right?
Yeah, I believe so. 3-7 Split or the 3-something Split. 7-3 Split or something like that. Tim Fleming started that. Tim Fleming out here did a lot of art fair stuff. Oh, he cool. moved out here and kind of helped create the art fair scene for LA. So that's really interesting. There's a place called... FGA, fucking good art. That was a place. There was another place called NFA, no fucking around. I mean, you know, these. There's another place called Law Office, which is super great. There's
a lot of cursing in the names.
It's Chicago. Yeah, it's a working class two-fisted. It's Chicago's two-fisted. Next up, you know, and there was a place called Joymore, and there's a place called Dogmatic, and they were great, and they all did different things, you know, they all had, but we all eventually got knew about each other, got together, and then create a map, and then did that. Yeah, and, you know, this is on, and all we had internet wise was a listserv. I mean, we didn't have any, you know, there was no right. So we were just,
no Curate LA out there at the time.
No. And so we made it all. It was great. And I learned as much there as I ever did in graduate school. We only did solo shows. So the aesthetic was to do group shows, which I think still holds true today when people do artist run spaces, you know, Durden and Ray or any of these folks out there do cool stuff. You know, it's still so punk rock. You have a space. It's like, you know, Friday night, you know, 30 artists. You're like, fucking Jesus Christ, salon. And it's cool. And I dig that because, you know, you just get this intense blast. But we only did solo people. We only would do solo shows. And we felt like we could be a vessel for people to really spread their wings out and, you know, and do a thing. And we were one of the only places that did that. And so we did that out of pocket, you know? And then we, after that, all of us got picked up by spaces. So we all actually got representation, you know? So what we did was the art, we were like, if the art world doesn't know us, we're going to make a space. We're going to help people. And rather than trying to beat down the pavement and like hustle, we're just going to like, we love art. We've all fallen in love with art. So we're going to be in love with it. So that's the best place to be. And then galleries started showing up and they were like, oh, your shows are tight. And they're like, so your work might be tight. You know, it's that kind of thing. Yeah. And then we ended up all getting picked up. I was showing with Kavi Gupta for about 10 years.
Oh, cool. So then you did end up entering into like a more market based.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. How was that for you?
Fucking insane. Rad and horrendous and fucking awesome. And like also, you know, kind of mind melting but great. Cause
do you have any representative stories of the experience that, stand out?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. One time, I mean, and Kavi is, you know, he's crushing it in Chicago, running big spaces. And, you know, I have a lot of fond memories about showing with him, and it was really cool. But he, like one year we were at, NADA in Miami.
Yeah. So that's a good fair, man.
Well, you know, it was, and that gallery along with other ones, Andrew Rafis and Shane Campbell gallery from Chicago.
They're based in New York, right? NADA. I think, New Art Dealers.
They were, but they did a Miami thing.
Yeah, so I know. They do an art fair in Miami. Sorry for confusing the situation.
It's cool.
But they're New York based. I think they rent out the Ice House or the Ice Palace or something like that.
Right. Something like that. And they did this. And so it'd be like, and people would do it a lot, you know? And so we were down there and we were in Miami, and I kind of dug it. And it was funny being in Miami, cause I was like, oh, for being from out here, I'm like, oh yeah, this makes sense. I'm like, right. But the real cultural difference besides, you know, the heavy Cuban influence, obviously, right.
Which
you are. And I, you know, I was down there, you know, I'm like, Kavi was like peeling me away from Cuban restaurants. Cause I was just like, hip deep in food. I was just like, yeah, I'll make it to the fair in a second. On my eighth cup of coffee.
Jesus.
You know, just drinking. I'm a big, big, big foodie. But what was interesting, I'd be on the beach and I came out there kind of an West Coaster expat in my, you know, my trunks, and everyone was in the, I noticed that, and I was like, oh, that's a East West thing. But one of the story was that, in the fair we were, because Basel was happening.
It's that same week
in parallel.
Yeah, it's like a Nada and Untitled and all of those are satellite
exactly.
fairs.
And there was Aqua and Pulse, and those were all happening.
Pulse,
and other hotel things. And so I was at Basel kind of there, you know, because I was like, let's just check
out
Basel.
I like this part of the story because I can picture where you're at.
yeah. We're in Basel.
In the convention center.
Sure. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And we're digging it, you know, and tripping out on all the work. And I think I was at, I remember this because I was looking at a Banks Violet, this big Banks Violet sculpture that, you know, in the middle of Basel that looked like it was like a burned out, you know, death metal church, you know, his vibe. I don't know if you're familiar.
I'm not that familiar, but
Banks Violet, yeah, sculptor.
Uh-huh.
I would say kind of, I'd say he's like kind of a gothy post Katie Nolan kind of thing, okay, where it's like, or even Monica Bovincini, but maybe less, not like with her, you know, kind of incredible kind of feminist politics, but, you know, big, like I'd say sculpture of the like early aughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Banks Violet. Yeah. But okay. Interesting, really interesting work and very music influenced, very, black, a lot of black. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think he was in the Whitney Biennial Day for Night show. They're like the 2008 one that had a lot. It was very gothy.
Do you see what the new one's called? It's called Even Better Than the Real Thing, which is like a U2 thing. Like, what the fuck? I need to see the show to kind of get the context.
Bless the Whitney Biennial, man. They got to come up. You know, they just got to keep coming
every
up.
2 years.
You got to do it. And so, I get this call from Kavi, and he's like, get over here. So we get over there, and Takashi Murakami,
okay,
is in the booth.
Wow.
And he's cruising around, and he's got his entourage
in the booth. Your stuff is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's got this entourage of people, but he looks like he's just like hair, beard, like camo shorts cut off. Like he looks like he just crawled off the beat. You know, you're just Murakami's in the booth, right? So we get there, and there are other folks there with him who are kind of, but he's in the middle. So I was like, I think I know what he looks like, but and I was I'm a super fat, super flat fan. Early on, like I dug the work and I thought it was interesting.
Super flat.
Yeah. His kind of, you know, his kind of atelier, his kind of aesthetic that he exported to the world. the super flat aesthetic is his thing. And so, I guess you could say that's kind of that's one way to talk. He kind of put that out there as a quick word just kind of boop, get that together. But there's a lot of stuff going on in there. But at that time So I look, and there he is, and he's looking at my painting. I had like two paintings up. There was maybe five of us showing in the booth. Mm-hmm. He looked at my painting, and he was like, "I really like this." And I was just like, "Oh my God!" And then he bought it.
Oh wow, cool.
And he bought it, and he was like, "I'd like to give it." You know, and kind of did the deal with Kavi and all that. But it was great. And so that was a really cool moment. And you know, and that was a moment of how fast things could go, you know, in that context and where I think with a lot, and just, it's just such a trip because you make work and you do things and you're either visible or you're invisible or you're underground or you're not. And then things just go boom. And they kind of take this really quick turn. And so that was cool. And it's in his collection. It's in the Superflat collection I believe it's in Tokyo, but they just did a big show of it in Yokohama, Japan in 2016. So he showed his entire collection. So like, it was a moment where, and this is important to me. I mean, there's my work up there on the wall, and there's like Anselm Ryle, and there's like Richard Prince. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I want to be part of that. I want to be in dialogue with those people.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be within that context, you know, and I don't.
Which of what Richard Prince's work? Is it the Instagram stuff he got a lot of slack for?
No, it was earlier stuff than that. They made this beautiful catalog and they sent it to me, and it's just gorgeous in this perfectly wrapped, you know, Japanese box. I mean, it was just like, it showed up in my house.
Hardcover or soft?
Hardcover.
Nice.
I mean, and it's like gold foil, and
you
it's
know
got
that's
this
serious when it's hardcover.
It was serious. Like, it's beautiful. Yeah, like I looked it up. I was like, oh, you know, later I got it and I just kind of dug it. And then like, I think a little later I kind of looked it up and it's like, yeah, it's like $250 catalog, you know, and whatever. But I just think like the amount of time they put into that, I just, is indicative of
and
just
resources,
just like how he, I think the respect, you know, whatever you think of him as an artist or his kind of, you know, his kind of like really funky pop leanings and what he does and who he, you know, the guy really, and his whole consortium there, I guess you'd say, is really, they really, foreground the art.
Yeah.
You know, and so they really respect it. And so that was nice. So anyway, there's a little story of that.
No.
Just being in that space.
That must be like an amazing experience.
Yeah. You know? And there were other ones too. So, you know, I showed with Coffee for about 8 years, and we're in art fairs in you know, Cologne and Berlin and nice. Mexico City. And, you know, and that was the rise of the art fair. So
were you
a lot
still
of,
teaching at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. For sure. Cause I was like, that's fun.
You were at the school of,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Didn't want to bail on that. And then I was, you know, and making art and receiving money for selling art.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's,
you know,
insane.
That
that's
was insane.
Feeling.
It was great. And, but it, a lot of that had to do with the economy at the time. And the fact that he was right there.
Oh, the 90s economy? Or this is
early 2000s. 2000s. So this okay. is the bubble. This yeah, is the bubble. You know, this is like
when it starts the decline.
Well, you know, but it really got hot.
No.
It was hot.
Early 2000s was definitely
to 2005.
Hot.
But, yeah. But, you know, but it, but also the art, the rise of the art fair.
Yeah.
Was part of that. And so anyway, I don't, you know.
So wait, so there wasn't, you say the rise of the art fair. There wasn't really much art fairing going on prior to
I should say. The art fair becoming a very
ubiquitous, maybe.
Well, ubiquitous, but a place that the economic engines and the mechanisms that would, you know, that would kind of drive these fairs, I think kind of came online
in a
major way at that time. You know, there were certainly art fairs before, you know, there were, but I just feel like, you know, that chunk of the 2000s really,
it's like the comedy boom of the 80s. Stand-up existed before
comedy,
but
and I think, you know, and so, you know, just so I just think as an artist, and I, you know, I really, and when I talk to, you know, and I'm still, you know, still showing and still doing that and still, and have work in collections a lot, actually mainly in Europe.
Nice.
A lot of work in Europe. I was able to have, you know, like one time we had a great show in Leipzig and I was able to show in the Spinnerei, which is a
Tell you've been to Leipzig because you said it Leipzig,
yeah. And it's, I mean, my brother-in-law is German, so I don't even claim to be all like flex German, but I do know how to say Leipzig. So the Spinnerei is an old DDR cotton factory that's been turned into artist studios. Like
what's DDR? Like not Dance Revolution.
That's the German communist state.
Okay.
Because it was East Germany.
Oh.
Yeah. So this was in East Germany. So Leipzig is it was East Germany, very much in, you know, in the eastern part of Germany, or at least within that the communist political zone. And so in that, in this converted old, you know, cotton factory is now like Neo Rausch's studio.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And Rosa Loy. And I mean, yeah, you know, I got to meet him at an opening where, you know, Kavi, and they had a little project space and Kavi had a little satellite gallery there. So, you know, just, I think it's really fun. And when I talk to, I'm still building this stuff and I still, you know, and I'm still really interested in putting the work out and showing it in any way possible and, you know, continuing to like try to have my work in these different spaces, you know, when I talk to students or have, you know, been able to mentor students who really, you know, who are expressing to me, you know, a real hunger for wanting to do this stuff, you know, wanting to be in, make art, try to be in it, try to put their two cents in the dialogue, the historical dialogue and all that stuff.
What's it called? Taito Whitney, who I just had, put it as stepping into the arena.
Stepping into the arena, nice. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because I was like, did you show before? Like, you know, in artist-run spaces. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, that's when I stepped into the arena. Like, into the actual art market. You know?
Yes, that's the arena, for sure. And I think but I don't, you know, and I think, I'll, you know, oftentimes...
I'm sorry, Taito Whitney. I for some reason I say it like Americanized.
Okay. Okay. In my travels, and you know, I feel like there's often, you know, there's always these senses of inside and outside, and you know, positioning. mm-hmm. like underground versus above ground, in this, artist run versus market and all, and all these do, there are very real positions here that are, that are affected by, that can be political or can be economic, and they're all varied. But I do think that, when I talk to students, or want to mentor them, and people show interest in things like this, I think everybody, right? And so should investigate and should be able to be, I want to set people up to enter that space, you call it, the arena or whatever. But like, for example, now I teach for the Los Angeles Community College District. So I teach, I'm a tenured faculty at Sylmar at Mission College in Sylmar. And, I have students there who show up and are kind of like, hey, most of my students are first generation college students, but they're like, I get some who are like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I say, I'm sorry, I just want to finish thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say to them, you should be in all of these spaces. Do you know what I mean? Like, Like so if you want to taste the arena,
you got to show up. Yeah,
sure. But you can, there's underground. So what I can bring to that is having experiences in all of those and to be able to say, here's how you navigate through all these and here are all the kind of, here are the pitfalls of them and here are the kind of really interesting parts of them. And here's how they dovetail a lot, which a lot of people don't want to kind of talk about, but radical underground spaces have their little nerve endings wrapped around the little nerve endings of David's Werner gal. Think it does, but all these things are connected. There's no either or, there's no binary position, and there's no outside of it all. You're in it.
They're symbiotic.
Oh, yeah. Completely. Yeah. And anyway, so
I just wanted to give you guys props because you the Mission College, you guys, that you were the ones that introduced me through you, Mario, and Curtis Stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You introduced me to John Plipchuk, which I had on the show.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Nice.
So
yeah,
you guys are definitely doing stuff. Like, I could go to other places and probably not have access to people of that level of experience.
Props to
Mission College. Mission. I actually was bummed. You had a show last night and I was like, oh man, this is an opportunity to meet another heavy hitter.
Oh yeah.
And I was And I was like, fuck.
Come to the show. Come check it out. So what we're trying to do it. So the fun thing is at Mission College, we can get our curatorial rocks off, so to speak. Yeah, right. Yeah. So you can. And so
what are your titles there?
I'd say associate professor of art. Curtis is full professor. Curtis Stage, he's the department head.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was hired there in 2019.
And he's also part of Durden and Ray, which you referenced earlier.
Sure. And he's part of that. And he's been part of that for a while. And Curtis and I met at Long Beach State in the early 90s. And
so way even before you had your career.
Oh yeah. No. We were the two freak kids who were like in the studios all night, nice. Like dosed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like making art. I mean, like really, and that's how we met. And we were like, it was,
Are you sure Curtis is okay with you saying that?
Whatever. Totally.
He wasn't dosed.
No, he was cool. No, it was just me. He's like super straight edge. But we were, high on life, man. But we were, we met then, stayed in contact, and then he let me know about this job that was opening up, and I wanted to be back on the West Coast.
Yeah.
My wife, Julie, and I wanted to be back out here. And, and I also felt like after years of teaching at the Art Institute of Chicago, which is, really, truly a private space, amazing space to teach with brilliant faculty. I mean, you really, really feel it when you're there. It's just the dialogues are amazing. The students are really amazing. I was thinking I wanted to get back into public education and be able to, and be able to like bring everything that I've accrued over the time into that. And so it happened. So I got the gig. And so it's a great, but if you get a 10-year gig, you can't, as a teacher, you got to go. And so we went, so we came here and there it is. But as far as art making, being back in LA is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing place. My God, it's vast.
Yeah.
It is vast. I mean, the amount of, wow.
It's insane. It really is. Like, I always think that, like, I keep meeting people that don't know anybody that I know, which is then they you're just like, it's like, you know, it really is so expansive and so many different intentions, so many people with different aspirations, you know, so many people that are just happy to have a job and make art, so many people that are chasing it down.
Yeah.
You know,
and I feel fortunate to be able to be back out here and I'm slowly kind of immersing myself in various parts of it, and to also understand that you never, you know, it was like in Chicago, you could immerse.
Mm-hmm.
And really touch the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could walk out into the deep end and your toes are like, do, 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 do. You know, you can kind of, you're like, or, you know, you feel it, you know, but out here you're like, it's deep.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're like, yeah, I'm not, you know, so you take your time, you know, you don't want to get the bends.
Yeah, right? No, for sure.
You take your time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have great colleagues, from Chicago who are out here, and that's a cool thing too. So the Art Institute does have a diaspora, and that's a great thing. And I was just having dinner and drinks the other night with Hamza Walker, who is the director of LAX Art, but he's brilliant. And he was the education director and a curator at the Renaissance Society at University of Chicago. And so I got to know him through doing spaces. He was like a hero of mine. So I would always go and like I'd get advice from him. And
what, head of the Renaissance Society?
This was a space at the University of Chicago that was a contemporary.
So it wasn't project. Renaissance.
No, yeah. Not at all. It was just called the name. Renaissance Society, but it was, you know, but I guess what the point is that just being, I don't think I really understood how much Chicago really does have, there's a lot of, you know, kind of, there are artists coming out of there constantly. They're all over the United States, and definitely the Art Institute of Chicago has really, really informed a lot of the, you know, a lot of things, just as Cal Arts has, and certainly all these other kind of, you know, storied, you know, schools and institutions. But Chicago itself was a huge influence on me for art making coming out. You know, I brought a kind of West Coast aesthetic with me.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of cool, a coolness that I think pervades the art here, but a kind of darkness that also does in the punk rock aesthetics that were kind of baked into what I was interested in. And then in Chicago, I got really into, then what's fascinating is I kind of became romantic about the West Coast and started, started thinking about that stuff and like letting it bubble into my work more. So I was doing a lot of landscape as a kind of platform, mm-hmm. as a kind of like mechanism to frame things became really interesting to me in all these different ways, and very loose notions of it and more conventional notions of it. I don't know, something about like spatiality, landscape, framing,
mm-hmm.
voyeurism,
scopophilia,
looking. Like the politics of that, like, you know, just everything, all the stuff. I wrote a paper at SAIC, a little like my MFA thesis was much unnecessary, but I was such a crazy nerd that I just wrote one in an art history class about cinema, cinematic space, and landscape painting.
Mm.
How aspect ratios
have
this kind of thing. So anyway, that was super interesting. And then there's this whole crop of artists called the Chicago Imagists who are really awesome. Jim Nutt, Gladys Nielsen, Ray Oshita.
The Imagists
were just they were artists who happened to be in Chicago at a certain time period in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
But was it like a movement kind of in the traditional sense?
It was. There's a great... there's a great film called the Chicago Imagists and the Harry Who that came out recently. And it's a great, great, great informative little piece about how you can how to kind of understand these really groundbreaking artists that came out of Chicago. And then I kind of, you know, going to school there, some of them were my advisors. And then I had like Ray Yoshida as an advisor. He's an amazing painter. I had Don Baum, who is a curator of all that stuff. I had Jim Nutt, who was an advisor, you know. And then I had like younger, more contemporary artists like Arturo Herrera and Michelle Grabner and people like that who are kind of pushing it in the art world in different ways. But imagism was always kind of stuck in my head, and it's just a really, you know, for your listeners or anyone who's interested, go, there's a you can look them up really easily, the Chicago Imagists, and the work is just great. And
is there an aesthetic conceit to the
there is okay. there is it's a, it's kind of a surrealist, it's like, you know, there's kind of pop in there. There's surrealism. There's kind of underground cultural. There's underground cultural images from music. There's underground comics. There's certainly art, you know, there's certainly like art knowingness, art historical knowingness happening. And it's a really interesting hybrid. And it actually was not very understood in New York. Like at the time, New York kind of disregarded it because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a prevailing thing. And it was very seen as very kind of regional, kind of Midwestern and kind of simmering in its own juices, kind of, you know, not really maybe seen as being, retrograde slightly, you know, not because it wasn't skewing the figure and it wasn't a kind of non-objective, you know, non-objectivism or abstraction or whatever was, you know, and it were something. And yet it just really left an impression on me. And then being a teacher there, I taught with a lot of these people. So then I learned even more. Great. And so it's affecting my work. So the work, as it stands now, the work has a lot of that in its DNA right now.
Quick question before we focus a little bit more on LA. Is it, because in Miami, even though there's like stuff going around year round with what's it called, with the artist run spaces, it's still pretty much a seasonal, you know, like winter time, because it gets really hot.
So
Is it seasonal over in Chicago?
No, people
just don't care about the cold.
Totally hardcore, because you kind of can't. Because like,
is it even the big spaces are constantly?
It's constant. I mean, it's just, they're just banging it out.
Cause you know, even out here, there's like a lull in the season.
I think Chicago, you just work hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's Midwestern. You know what I mean? People land planes in a fucking snow. Like what would shut down any American city?
Yeah, you're right. Like snow days.
There are, but it's, you know, if there's a snow day in Chicago,
people have died.
Oh yeah. You know, it's super bad. So Chicago has this kind of infrastructure just, which is like a psychological infrastructure. It's like a physical one where you just buck up. That's the term, buck up, pal. Yeah. You know, you're just like, good Lord. So you're like, well, I'll just eat pierogies and drink vodka and just become, you know, and hang out Ukrainian
pierogies,
people.
Dumplings. Is
yeah.
That okay?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we lived in this part of town called the Ukrainian Village for a while. And you know, you just learn to dig. I mean, like I was down with the Ukrainians before you had to be down with the Ukrainians, put it that way. You know what I'm saying? But they just, you know, it's just everyone just gets stuff done. And so they work. And the other thing in Chicago too, and just not to belabor it too much, but because it is the second city vibe, it feels like it has to kind of deliver, you know, it's like you can't rest.
It's got a chip on its shoulder, maybe.
Well, yeah, because no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, it doesn't have the kind of amplifying, it doesn't have the visuality and the amplification devices that Los Angeles has to kind of, you know, like spread its seed all over, you know, the universe, you know, and have, or, and then New York, which is kind of baked in, right? So it doesn't have the, you know, and, it does, you know, it doesn't have the, you know, the, it doesn't have the kind of filmic, you know, fairy dust that New York has, you know, Woody Allen, you know, sorry, everyone, but you know, like, but you know, but which that, you know, those are epic, you know, that is an ep, those are epic cinematic moments of a romantic city, right? That just is, you know, there's no question about it. But Chicago is kind of like, is Chicago something? Like, what is this? And so everyone has to, you think hard about art, you make art hard, you really do it, you don't fuck around, you don't waste time, it's fucking 20 below zero out, I'm going to an opening.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean?
And I can barely get out to openings,
dude,
here.
You coming out here, I'm like, fucking easy, man. People are like, oh, I don't want to go, man, it's on the west side. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? It's like sunny and shit. Yeah. I'll be in traffic, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? So you're just, it's tough. You know, it kind of gives you a little toughness in a way. It's just interesting. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, whatever, but it was a cool place to be for a while.
When did you come back to LA? What year was it? I forget.
2019.
Oh, so you've been here, you know, like, yeah, but, like not that long.
Nah, but you know, 3 years of that was like, you know, it's like the COVID.
Oh yeah.
You know, like through, I got here and I was like, yay. I, you know, watched the Jonathan Gold, food documentary, had my list. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to eat my way through. And then nothing.
Had he passed yet when you saw that?
Or? He already had. Yeah. So, I mean, I was friends of mine were like, dude, you got to see this. This is iconic. You know, you have to know this.
On point, man. I've never eaten somewhere he's recommended it and been like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, so that shut down. So I was like, you know, going through, you know, so it was very much, so I'd say in the past 2 years, we feel like we've been, you know, finally had a chance to be out and go to openings, you know, just to be present, to feel human, to feel present or somewhat or post-human or whatever we feel like now, but, to be here, you know.
And, so are you still pursuing like the art market nowadays? Or are you,
yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to be part of that. I'd love to make work. I'd love to have my work circulate in that system for sure.
And what, for somebody that has never accomplished that, like you come out to LA, obviously there's maybe some sort of rebuilding or all of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're starting from scratch. Because right? I mean, yeah, because like all these, you know, like every city in LA, every city in the country, I'm going to close. Should I close that?
It's all right. Is that cool? I've given up. I have to like tighten it with a screw.
Cool. you know, like every city has its kind of terroir.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's also, it's grad schools, you know? And so they put out, you know, every city, you know, same as like, you know, like there are roots in these cities. So when you kind of uproot yourself and put yourself in a new one, you know, unless you're functioning, unless, you know, you're already in at the highest levels of showing and that becomes fluid. So you can just kind of be anywhere that way. Right. You just become like, you're like in multiple places at the same time, defying the laws of physics as we know it. But if you're not there, then what you do is you do have to kind of build it back better, as they say, you know? And so I think that like coming out here, I think it's kind of fun to be just in within the space and you can do things differently, you know, and I can have different postures and different ways. I am who I am, but I can also redefine that. And LA is such the place of redefinition. Yeah. So there's a sense that, you know, it's really interesting to be back out here and to kind of feel out the different kind of, look at the different like, tributaries, and the tributaries are also like geographic in LA, right? You know? And so, you know, I'm like, oh, this tributary is an East Side tributary. Oh, this is a West Side. Oh, this is a Hollywood. Oh wait, this is like that's a trip. But if you follow this, it goes over here, connects here. So I'm slowly starting to like get those. That's just fun.
So then the first part of your strategy would be that, to just kind of get a lay of the land.
Yeah.
No, I'm asking, absolutely. I'm asking for someone that is, that,
oh yeah, yeah, you yeah. Know. No, but I'm not, asking, I don't want to say, yeah.
I mean, not that there's a set path, but from what you've learned and how you go about it, that sounds interesting. So you're in this, you're in the data collections.
Totally. So yeah. And I, you know, also learning, also having, you know, been on the business end of trying to be in the, you know, in the volatile world of studio, finding studios, you know, in LA, which is way different than in Chicago. But
how so?
Oh, just the demand is higher. There's more people, you know, there's less of them, the more people want them. But then at the same time, it seems like, you know, buildings can be a little tricky. They can go from like, you know, kind of a thing that can house people to suddenly something that becomes a luxury thing that gets sold, you know, just volatility of it. I think things much, much more, much more adrenalized, I would say. And so, but I found one, I found one I'm really happy with. And, renting from Matthew Monahan and Laura Schnittiger, who are these amazing artists here. And it's near here. It's on San Fernando Road. It's like Cypress Park.
Yeah.
It's close to where I live. So that's great. So that's a big score. Zero commute. Nice. Right. That's a thing.
LA,
that's a thing. that's a thing. Yeah. So I'm like, cool. Check. All right. And then a decent, you know, nothing ostentatious, but something that's workable and not going to kill me economically. And so I'm like, that's a big thing. I feel like like, okay, get that.
Yeah.
So it's really the same thing. What does an artist do? An artist has, you find a space you can work in and then start to work there, you know, and you just kind of, start with who you know and where you are, and you just build out from that in this kind of concentric
And you definitely have to have the work before you start going for anything, right?
Like, for sure.
Least be in the process of making stuff.
I mean, I think the work, I mean, in the end, you're going to have to deliver something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. You got to have something.
You can't just come out here and network and then be like, when I get the opportunity, I'll start to make work.
I mean, that if you did that, I mean, unless your whole deal was some kind of conceptual conceit where it was about,
Need the budget and the deadline.
Whether it's about your whole output or your production is about networking yourself into things. And then I make objects and I make things. And so the things have to get made and, but then there's different, so it's really interesting to be out here to think about how things are made, the life of things, the circulation of them, the politics of them, the economics of them.
Yeah.
And then also to be making things within this context of like the place where images get made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I mean, sure.
Yeah. Cause that is a thing, it's like to make work in Chicago, no images get made up. Like,
yeah.
Well, I'm not like in the sense that they, you know what I mean?
It's more. Yeah. Yeah. It's not, the film industry is not there. And over there, over New York, maybe there's more film industry than maybe probably Chicago. Right. Like, Chicago's a very specific setting for a show or for a movie.
Theater is strong. Music's strong.
And like Chicago might have ER for 8 years, but that,
their location. Yes. They're a location. They're like Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like people go film there.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably film there to save money on places like New York and stuff.
York,
Gotham. Dark Knight was filmed there
for sure. And I saw it getting filmed and what's his name? Sam Raimi filmed, like some Spider-Man stuff. I mean, people go there to do that, but I think,
it's usually trying to emulate something
else,
it's either trying to look like New York or trying to look like a mysterious city. Cause Spider-Man never worked in Chicago,
but it can, I think it's just really, it's a really interesting, it's an interesting, shifting to be out here and to start and to make art and to think about how you absorb, cause I am someone who does, I absorb the spaces around me, the art that I make does have internal, it is an internal manifestation outward, but it still is also an externalized.
You got to take stuff in.
And so that's happening. So, I mean, it's an interesting space to be in and the visuality out here is insane. And so that's another thing, everything being so hyper visual or so kind of, there's this kind of seductive space, I just think that for me, it's just this. So I'm in a space where I'm just like taking it all in, seeing where everything is, meeting people, going out to shows, getting kind of understanding what is happening. And I think it's just really, I think it's just a great, being in Los Angeles and making art here. It's a world, it's just such a world-class art city. And I just think that I'm, just really feel fortunate to be able to like witness that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And something I tell students that I work with all the time, a lot of the students I work with are in the Valley, and that still is the thing. So when I was growing up here, it was like LA and the Valley, and there was two distinct things. Yeah. And it's still kind of that way. Which is interesting. I mean, I'm sure it's shifted a bit, but not so much. And so a lot of students are like, I got to drive over the hill to go. I'm like, you have no idea. You live in this amazing plethora.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I feel like LA is protean.
Mm-hmm. What's protean mean?
Protean is like the possibility of, like proto or kind of, the possibility, it lots of possibility. And I think it still has that. And so it's a really great, great place to kind of nest yourself into as an artist. And then it's changing and it's like reaffirming some of the things in my work that were always there, which is kind of like, kind of absorbing the landscape, the internal landscape and the external landscape, the artist, me as the artist being that a gateway between an internal and external spaces. But also thinking about being like America, being an American artist, one might say, because, LA is like this, like the last vestige, right? So it's like this, something
LA is the most American America because it's the one we export.
For sure. Right. Yeah, yeah. So then you really butt up against that, yeah, you know, yeah. you almost kind of have to deal with that a little bit. Yeah. So I do like having to deal with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do like having to kind of confront those things, you know, like image production, Americana, like, you know, mirages, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, but then again, like the history of art in LA, and that's interesting too. But then, and you know, so all these things kind of cross over here. And I think being an artist in the midst of that is like super exciting.
Yeah.
And I just think I feel really fortunate to be part of that.
So. Yeah. As much as this city can kick your ass sometimes, and it can, like, in terms of like just, you know, things, I feel like things take a little bit more effort here. But as much as that, like, there is something to it, you know?
Yeah, man, you got to work hard.
Yeah. 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 It's slow paced, but it's cutthroat, you know?
That is the thing that kind of, I think, throws people.
Yeah.
Because you think it's laid back and you think it's chill, but it's not.
No,
the stakes
are always high.
For sure.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, one last thing I want to say is that what's interesting about here is the vastness of it.
Yeah.
There is an anonymity.
Yeah, yeah.
Which can also throw people off, right? So that one of the things you don't get a lot of impromptu meetings.
Yeah.
So that's a thing in a city you get.
Yeah, you don't happen to run into somebody.
And that's a thing, you know, so it doesn't happen here. So what can happen is if you let yourself float off the grid, kind of socially.
Yeah.
But for an artist, sometimes I think that's not a bad, you need to check that because you can really go out there. But like, I think if you need to unplug and not be seen and just like simmer in your own art juice and make some really weird shit, it's like have at it. And then when you need to plug back in, you could just like, and like, and just get like electrified by. And so I think I like that. And
if you
understand that that's kind of a way you can work this, I think that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And I would say that if you go for too long, the scene just moves on without you, you know, it's own perpetual motion machine, you know, there's always somebody there pushing it forward. Cause I just, like I told you, I took 2 months.
Yeah.
I went to Miami for 2 months. I came back and I was like you said, I was like, oh my God, this pace is like, I'm not used to it.
But then I think what's interesting too, because of its protean nature out here is that you can, the possibility, cause everything's like erasing and forming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forming and erasing, erasing itself and forming itself like constantly.
And people are leaving all the time.
Totally.
And people are coming. Yes.
So there is this, there is a transient, the transience of it is so intense. Right. Yeah. So what I think it has the ability to do, I think a way to navigate that as an artist or as a cultural worker, cultural producer is it's always spreading, right? So you may think you're in the middle, but then you're moving to the marginalization is like constant. You're always and in many ways, it's just moving, so you're like, oh, where's the center and where's the margin? Where's the in and where's the out? Those things are folding and moving constantly and kind of tectonic, I would say.
Yeah, like it used to be Chinatown and then it became Culver City and now I'm not really sure where it is.
So I think what you do as an artist is you kind of plant your flag on in the place where you're at and then you declare that the center. And I think people are constantly doing that here and that's what shapes the town. So it's kind of like, you know, whether it's an artist run space or whatever, or an artist or even a big ass fucking gallery like Zwerner's, like fucking mothership landing and you have to rename a whole part of town. You have to call it like, what is it called now? Like, it's like something, it's like Hill. It's like Melrose Hill. Was that actually a name at some way? Or something lands, it's there. It's declaring a kind of center. You know,
like when they started trying to call South Robertson Soro.
Okay. Maybe a really interesting collective plants its flag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That seems
to not have the same power, but what you can actually make, you can declare your place. If you feel
essentially.
So you plant your flag and you create the kind of, you know, so that is the protean nature out here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think things are so sewn up. I think in like places like New York and Chicago, I think they tend to be a little bit, I think they're more conservative in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
In that,
that
sense,
makes sense.
Where things are already built, there's kind of a crust on it all. And so to cut through that, you gotta have a,
it's hard to subvert and
you gotta have a sledgehammer for that.
Yeah.
You know, out here you can kind of slide, you can plant things because they grow all the time.
Yeah. So, no, and the community is so big that you can really only ever hope to have a section of it out here, you know, because it's so decentralized.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that threw me off when I first moved here was that, like, there was no hub. There was no, like, you go to that part of town and that, you like, in Miami, they would have Second Saturdays.
Okay.
You know, so, like, Wynwood, which is no longer an art place, but,
yeah,
like.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Back then, it was, like, it was, you know, before it got gentrified and became a little South Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
They would have, like, weekends, like, every second Saturday, they would have an art walk and, like, Bombay Sapphire would have a stand. And, you know, like, it was just this crazy community party. And when I came out here, I was like, oh, no, no, we're just going to one gallery.
I think the vastness of the scope, it's a huge scope.
Yeah.
The
scope
of it's huge. And so to be lost in it, like, you could, I just think being lost in it is interesting. And I think also, like, finding yourself in it is interesting. Right.
Yeah.
And so those two, and, you know, and there's other positions there too. And, you know, and then also, you know, I think that's where I want to be. So I kind of, so to build, to recreate and to, you know, to build and to just be parts of things. I want to like move in that space, and I want to let my, you know, and I want to, I do want to plant flags, like doing what we're doing at Mission College and our gallery is kind of planting a flag.
No, the shows are really good.
We're doing that. But then as artists, you know, I'm doing that in my own way, and I'm just trying, but right now I'm kind of building the work, and I'm really, really psyched about what I'm making and what's allowable too. I think this city is like one giant permission. And that's constantly gives you permission on all these levels, you know, and that's super.
Cause even fun. Outside of our industries, there's so many people taking wild risks, you know, there is a spirit of that,
Some of my favorite, work that came out of this city that I used to see when I was a kid is the light and space work. Mm. I really love, you know, a lot of those artists, Mary Corse and John McCracken and all those, and Irwin and all the people were kind of in Kaufman and a number of people and Fred Eversley, he's in New York, but he was here too. You know, that kind of work had to do with risking materials. Like you're hanging out with people at Boeing and they're like, you know, or some kind of, you know, you're getting like weird polyurethane plastics thing. Like there's a sense of kind of hyper experimentation. And,
or you can just hire someone that knows how to shoot something really well.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you're doing video, as opposed to like, if you were in Miami, you'd struggle to find that at the caliber that you could find it here
for
the rates that you can probably get, you know?
Right. You just have to go intern at like Harmony Korine's place. Yeah. But like, or is he, I think he's in Miami,
is he in Miami?
Yeah, he lives there.
Is he getting beat up still?
I don't know. No. I mean, I think he's like an elder statesman.
He's no longer a punk kid getting kicked off of Letterman.
No, he is making, I actually need to see his new movie, but I just think being able to make work here and sustain, you know, and figuring out ways to sustain yourself and make work here is important. And then once you kind of figure those things out, I think it's a great place to be. And I just love, I really, really dig it.
No. Yeah.
And it's
hard to imagine living anywhere else with all the things that I may complain about this city on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would complain about any city.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, trust me, if you heard me, I would sit here and talk such shit about Chicago constantly because I was just like, oh, it's small and da, da, da. And then you get here and like, man, and then you're like, oh, you know, but also I think the cool thing is that, I'm also starting to see like the connections between that city and here and all the, so I just think, I think it's a great time to be, even with all the kind of, you know, certainly like unsavory kind of insane politics that are happening in the country. Right now, I just think that like being here and being an artist it's a great time to be an artist because it's just like, you're really,
there's a lot of material.
It's a lot of material. And, you know, and I think,
Japanese or is it Chinese curse? Yeah. May you live in interesting times.
Yeah. And most artists that I dig, they lived in pretty interesting times. Yeah. So I think it's like, well, time to deliver.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you got to deliver, you know?
Oh, well, cool, man. I really appreciate your insights. I've never really had someone lay down the law on Chicago. Chi-Town so much.
Well, man. I'm that's my version of it. There's many Chicago.
No, but the art scene, I'm always curious to see what these little art scenes. In fact, the one group of people I haven't really had on the show is New Yorkers, which is what I'm trying to. If you know any people that are out there, we can talk about this off.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm definitely, cuz it really is interesting to sort of pick apart different art scenes and see how they, you know, I had my friend Christina and we really got into how she's from Miami too, mm-hmm. and how specific that scene is. So having an insight into Chicago, especially from someone that's from LA that can, straddle both and had some success, commercial success out there. It's really interesting. So I really appreciate that.
I appreciate that. And I really appreciate having the chance to like hang out and share my experience.
For sure, man.
Like that.
I'm definitely going to come out and check more shows out. And I encourage people to do the same, because you guys are doing some really good programming.
And that's at LA, just to plug it. It's the Arts Media Performance Gallery. So it's the AMP Gallery. We call it AMP Gallery at Los Angeles Mission College. And right now we have a Salomon Huerta solo show up.
Which I missed and regretted, but
yeah. Come on down. And
you having a closing for it?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But we're going to do, I mean, what we,
is there
we,
a talk?
We try in maybe. Okay. We'll see. We just, Salomon has to, you know, he's you know, one of our big LA artists, and we're so honored to have him want to show with us, because a lot, he could do that. I mean, he's, you know, he's represented by Harper's Books here, and he's did crush some stuff in New York. I mean, the guy is like, and so to have him at our space, we're very honored. So we're just trying to make sure, you know, we can kind of
Want him to come back.
And so we're, you know, but we do two professional shows a year there, and then we have a student show. And I'll say one other thing, Curtis Stage and myself also, and this came from us, I'm gonna put this on the record right now, so I'm just saying it, that we at Mission College came up with the idea during the pandemic to do a district-wide student show. So when I got hired, we were like, oh, okay, we do student, you know, I'm just getting to know the school system, which, you know, and I'm like, oh, we've never done a big district wide show. Cause you know, not every school of the nine schools has like really functioning art programs, mm-hmm. but Valley does. We do ELAC, East LA College, and LA City College, you know, mm-hmm. they're pretty strong. And so we're like, well, let's have a big show and let's do a thing. Let's get some sweet, you know, let's like do a thing, you know? Yeah. And then we kind of came up with that during these, you know, these Zoom meetings during the pandemic where everyone's like freaking the fuck out about everything. Right. And so we said, when we get out of this, let's do a thing, let's do that. And so I was able to get, Hamza Walker to jury it. And we had our first show at the Vincent Price Art Museum.
Oh, that space is awesome.
And we did that. And it was,
Yoshie Sakai just showed there. Yeah, yeah.
Caught that. And it was the district-wide show. There were prizes. It was a packed opening. Wow. And students were like, oh my God, my work's in a museum. And we're like, fuck yeah. And now I'm saying that was our idea.
Props
put it out there.
Yeah.
Everyone picked up the ball. ELAC helped pick up the ball and get it in. So we're super down with them, and they did that. And now it's going to be, we're starting 2025, working with Steve Wong, who's the director of the Vincent Price. We're going to start doing a big district show as a, like a biennial.
That's awesome.
Right.
Dude.
So there's that. So like, that's like,
the benefit,
check it
of
out.
Living in LA.
Yeah.
There's the Protean moment where
you take nothing. There was never a student, you know, wouldn't think of community college art, you know, like I'm
kids
like,
kids don't even know what's happening for them. You
right.
know?
So like, I'm like, let's really do that. Yeah. So then students are like, oh, I can work towards that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you know what's coming, then you start making the bang and work, mm-hmm. you know? And then, so I just think we're really happy. So, you know, pop out. It's a quick 20-minute drive. You know, you're on the 2, you're on the 210. It's the best, like no traffic drive.
Especially when you guys have the openings, it's all dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no traffic.
And so Curtis and I will open up the space and we'll show anyone the work we have. Like we're basically running an art gallery, rent free.
Nice.
Right. Cause we work there. So we're getting paid to do it. I'm just saying, but you know, as someone someone who has paid rent and run spaces, you know, out of the love of work, you know, and gone and broke doing it, you know, this is a joy.
Yeah.
So awesome. Besides from being artists and building.
No, I saw the show, Strange Reality there. And that was really good. That's the one where I met, Plipchuk from.
Yeah. Mario, man. Mario killed that.
Mario is such an institution. That is is a plant flag, a planted flag.
Yeah. And I got to meet him and that was cool. Like you use these places, these things to meet people, you know, and I'd never met him before. I mean, Curtis knows him, but
you hadn't run into him like a million times because he's at everything.
Well, we'll put it this way. I got in 2019 and I went to a couple openings and then it was like done.
Yeah.
Right. Think about it. It was like, couldn't do anything. So I kind of would on Instagram, I was seeing this guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I never, and then, so that was a really Curtis thought of that. He was like, let's get someone else to like curate a show here. And he was like, oh, this, let's get this
tomorrow. It.
Yeah,
that
he did. I mean,
so
the Robert
good.
Yarber work, those were like, he got from Nicodeme Gallery. Those were fucking insane.
I don't even know. Like those that guy has clout that he doesn't flash, you know, like he knows people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Matt
cool.
props to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt props to you, Mario. We're huge fans.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, and he turned me on to like Katie Hector's work and, you know, and Allison Blickle and I think Casey Kaufman, I believe. Then I hope I'm getting her name right. She did this video work and Polipchuk. I met him there. He came over to the studio visit with me. So that was cool.
Nice.
And
how did that go?
Great. He's fun and interesting.
He's such a nice
dude.
Trip.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He just comes with all this. Yeah. He's an interesting guy. And so, to have him in the studio,
super generous, man.
Yeah.
When he came over, he was really, really cool.
Oh, cool. And so Mario did a great job. So that was what we're doing is we're just testing the water and all the different configurations. So we've never done a solo show. So the Salmon Huerta was our first solo show.
Nice.
And it's good. So and it's his gun series. So it's these paintings, still life paintings that with these guns in them. And they're just with this whole narrative about his father and about growing up in Boyle Heights and, you know, and food and love and violence. And then at the same time, these are like, look like Manet paintings and they have this like Wayne Thiebaud vibe. I mean, there's a fucking killer. So anyway, come check it out. It's up until
I strongly recommend
April 27th.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
and then what can we promote for you? What's your Instagram? Do you have a website?
Yeah. Yeah. So my Instagram is, it's at Adam F. Scott Studio. So and it's like Adam with the lower, it's
with underscore,
the underscore. So it's Adam underscore F underscore Scott Studio. That's my Instagram. And then my website is adamscottstudio.com. And you can, and I've just updated it with some new stuff.
Okay.
Works on paper that I'm really psyched about right now. And that's what I've been doing mainly. And then maybe those will become paintings or something later. But right now I'm really into paper stuff.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for your energy, man.
Well,
this was really good.
Well, I appreciate it. I respect what you do. And I
respect your knowledge base.
Yeah.
So
I'm
thank
just
you.
Like, yeah, you got to cut me off because I'm kind of I'm long in the tooth. I'll
no,
go on, like,
no.
Teacher
dude,
vibe.
The man, worst thing is to have someone that doesn't want to talk on a podcast.
Yeah. You got
to
be like, and Adam and scene. I'm like, you got to stop. All right. Well, anyway, I appreciate it. Thank
no
you.
No problem,
thank
man.
Thank you so much.
And thank you guys for watching. We'll be back next week with another guest and another topic that may or may not be art related.